So in 2023, growyourmusicstudio.com presented a couple of workshops. We did an AI one very early on, like right after GPT came out. We did that in January of 23. We did a really, really exciting workshop on Facebook ads in October. And then we closed the year off with a really well-attended workshop on how to do annual planning the smart way. And that was a co-hosted shop between Alyssa, who's one of the coaches here at Grow, and Nate. And Nate's contribution to that, a very big contribution, was how he has done annual planning with a team in the context of a much larger school. And since that time, we've gotten a lot of questions about that annual planning workshop, which, just for the record, is available for free in our free community. You can go to school.com, skool.com/growyourmusicstudio. And one of the free trainings that we have in there is that annual planning workshop. You can watch it totally for free. Very valuable training. Since we did that, though, we've gotten a lot of questions. And in late January, Alyssa and I did a follow-up on that. And that video we released in late January. And I'm wanting to do another follow-up on it now with Nate, who is the other co-host, because one of the things that I noticed in my own life was that I would do annual planning, but when it came to quarterly planning, I felt a little bit lost. So what I wanted to do to keep the results rolling in, to keep the train moving, was to do one more follow-up on that workshop that we did here with Nate on how he does quarterly planning in his school. So Nate, I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
I'm psyched to do it too, because, you know, you and I were talking pre-record, Daniel, and we were like, this is going to be one of those transparency episodes where we're just super open and honest with what's worked and what hasn't. And quarterly planning is one of those things where it's really hard to develop a habit of it. It's really hard to find the discipline to do it. It's especially hard if you're a smaller studio or school where you're just so psyched because you actually even did annual planning for the first time. And now all of a sudden you're listening to Nate and Daniel talk about how you need to tee that sucker up every quarter. So, but the point is that this episode, Daniel, I hope will be inspiring to our listeners, because they will listen to how you and I have attempted it, warts and all, with varying degrees of success, and maybe walk away being like, yeah, I could do this. I can give this a shot. So looking forward to getting in it.
Yeah. And just to follow on really quickly on what Nate said there, that video I mentioned that Alyssa and I did in late January was around the emotional blocks you might have around planning. And so if you do, as Nate say, feel like this is a hard thing, or, oh, I resist this, so I don't want to do it, we talked about the emotional component of business as it relates to annual planning. But for this episode, we're going to go more on the technical side again, like we did in that original workshop, where we're just going to examine what you actually need to do and why we do it. So welcome back to the podcast. This is the Seven Figure Music School podcast. I'm Daniel. This is Nate. And today we are talking quarterly planning. So Nate, first question, why do quarterly planning?
Okay, so there's actually a number of good reasons why one does it, but I'm going to quote one of my mentors just to open up. Okay, so one of my mentors is someone who I had the good fortune of studying leadership with occasionally. His name is Clayton Mask. He's a founder of a company called Keep, which is the CRM that we use, formerly known as Infusionsoft. And he said it simply. He said, the only time we never completed our quarterly projects or annual goals was when we failed to do quarterly planning.
Wow.
It's just so straight, so simple. It was just like, when we didn't make the time and space to do quarterly planning, guess what? We fell short of what we thought we could achieve. So if we just stop right there, Daniel, I'm like, okay, that's inspiration enough for me. They've been doing annual and quarterly planning for, 15 years. I don't know how old their company is, but say 15.
It's a long time.
Yeah, 17 years, something like that. So they've been doing it, and they've also skipped it. They've skipped quarterly planning, and they've seen the consequences. So that's one big reason why. I'm going to give you one other. Dude, I dug into my library and pulled out a whole bunch of annual planning workbooks. And I pulled out the annual operating priorities, the strategic goals for 2020. This is our sheet. Look at it. It's just ratty. If you're listening, check out the YouTube and look at this. Okay. This is what we printed up in January of 2020. Strategic goals. Number one, reach 100% capacity during prime time and camp. That's one outcome we wanted to achieve in 2020. Number two, complete the construction on our current location. It was at 600 DeGraw. And it said, while maintaining an 80% net income, or OPEX. 80% OPEX, meaning 20% net income. Number three was produce, package, and sell 3 curriculum products online and licensed through our software tool, BMF Connect. Now it's called Big Music Games. So that was in January of 2020. Guess what happened when we did quarterly planning in April, Daniel?
I was there. I know what happened.
You know, it radically changed because the world changed. And so that's another really important reason to revisit your annual planning, either quarterly or a few times a year. We'll talk about how we do it at BMF. But the point is that circumstances can change. And you need to have a rhythm over the course of the year that allows you to really look at those and ask yourself, did we set the right intention back in December, January when we did our planning? So 100%. This is an extreme case, but it's a really valuable one. And needless to say, I hold on to our one sheet from 2020 because it's motivation for me to continue to do quarterly planning.
And I can echo that with one specific example from last year for us. You know, so one of the sponsors of this podcast is grouplessons.com. And in my role of marketing that, one of our annual priorities for grouplessons.com was to get the word out better. And we really did that. We actually hit our annual goals last year in terms of the number of studios that are now using that group lessons curriculum.
Yeah, I remember. I was totally inspired listening to you work through that.
Yeah. And so we wanted to have 3 automated marketing campaigns going by the end of the year. And at about the halfway point during the year, we were making good progress on that. But one of the initial ones that I thought we were going to be using back when we did annual planning at the end of 2022, I realized was not going to be viable for us. We had tried to make it work. And one of these ideas I had for how we were going to market it just ended up not panning out. It was not delivering the results we wanted. And so I dropped that off the plan, and quarterly planning helped us make that change. Now, it was obvious, but we were officially codifying it and having a discussion as a team around that point. So that's, again, a less extreme example of how quarterly planning can help you support you in getting to your annual goals. So just a thought there. So Nate, I guess my question would be, you know, how does it work? What are you even doing during the quarterly planning process? And maybe that's a sub question of, you know, how does quarterly planning differ from annual planning? So there's just a lot packed in there. Can we kind of dig through that? Because I want people to have a practical guide for what they're doing.
Yeah. So in some ways, it looks very similar to annual planning, right? So let's just outline exactly what you need to do right away. Right away, you need to get out your calendar. You need to put a stake in the ground and say, we are doing quarterly planning, and we're doing it on this day at this time. And then you need to invite your team, whoever the key players. It doesn't even matter if it's just you and 2 teachers or you and your admin staff, but whoever you do annual planning with, you're inviting them back. Number one, book the time. Remember, like we say, if you want to know what matters, look at what you schedule. That's what actually matters. So schedule it. Number two, you're going to follow a similar format, Daniel. It's not rocket science. You're going to do accomplishments. You're going to do strengths, you're going to do weaknesses, you're going to do lessons learned, just like you did at annual planning, but you're going to look back on the last 3 months and you're going to say, what did we accomplish in the first 3 months? What are some lessons learned? A perfect example of the reason why you still go methodically through that is your pivot that you just described last year. If you don't take the time and space to assess as a team, then you won't be able to share as a team lessons learned. And then as a team, create a better option moving forward, right? Because Daniel, I'm sure for you, you were looking at that automated marketing campaign and being like, this ain't working, this ain't working. But every meeting you have with the team is all about just tasks you did in the last 7 days and blah, blah, blah. You don't really have time to spend a few hours together sharing and then hearing of other opportunities and options and getting creative, right? Instead, it's just like the Daniel show. And you're really good at getting them a certain distance. But there's a reason why we get together as a team, because we want everybody aligned around what's working and then everybody aligned around what's not working, right? Because otherwise, one key component here around annual planning is that if you start making changes individually and the rest of the team's not really aware, then it sort of chips away at the trust that you developed in your annual planning. You know what I mean? Like, they need to know that you're thinking differently. That you're like, hey guys, this thing that we put out there that we thought would be really effective, it's not really working. It gives you the opportunity to actually be vulnerable and be like, you know what? My first idea turns out it was a swing and a miss. Right? And then they're like, oh, cool. Well, how can we help you?
Yeah. Do you have, other than the 2020 example, do you have any specific examples where you got to quarterly planning and you had a major change to the annual priorities that you had set at the beginning of the year? Maybe you don't. I don't know. I'm just curious if there's an example of that.
Okay. So back in the day, let's see here. Let me go back to, like, I don't know if I have my annual one sheet, my objective one sheet right here in front of me, but we set a goal of generating 20% of our income from licensing curriculum. And primarily it's things like, as our listeners know, one of the sponsors is bigmusicgames.com. So we help schools that want to implement a songwriting program and gamify their ear training and theory for kids ages 4 to about 11. So But like, this is a rewind tape like 5 years ago, and we're like, oh, we want to generate 20% of our revenue from this. Well, we were a $1.6 or $7 million company at that point. So 20% of the revenue was a big chunk. Then now we're talking like $300,000-$400,000 we need to generate, from it, more than that. And we totally had no idea what we were doing. We just put that down because we were like, this is an aspirational goal. This is the outcome we want. So this is what happened was, without the annual planning, it wasn't until the third quarter, Daniel, where we were like, wait, we're so far off in what we can achieve with this. We didn't have the wisdom, for example, that you guys have with doing a great systematic job with Piano Express, with group lessons, right? We didn't have that wisdom yet. And so it got to the third quarter. And what was really interesting is, in that annual planning, a couple of the members of the team that were on that project, i.e. they were owning the outcome, to them, they kept looking at saying, oh, we need to generate $400,000 of income from this, but we're only at like $60,000 or $40,000, you know? They were the one who came to us and said to the meeting, and we're like, this is not happening. We were wrong in our analysis.
Wow, yeah.
6 to 8, 9 months ago. So we really need to rethink this. And the value, by the way, and I want to go back into a couple of other concrete what's, like how to actually do quarterly planning in a second, but the value to that moment, for those of you listening that have a team, i.e. you have 4 or 5 people that are all invested in the outcome of the school that you're running, the value of those other team members coming to you as a founder saying, hey, our work we did in annual planning 9 months ago was off. The value there is you're actually deepening the relationship and the trust and the commitment. Because if they feel confident enough to go to you and say, we were off on this objective, this is not the outcome we should have defined, right? And here's why, and here's what I think it could be. What they're saying is, we're all in, but it's going to take all of us, all of our brains, working in concert to figure out what this team, not some sort of aspirational team that you read about in your business book, But this team right here, with the resources we have, the creativity, the time, and the money, this team can achieve X. And when you have other members of your team showing up to quarterly planning, Daniel, and being very specific about why you were off on something and a pivot you should be making, then that can be super powerful in terms of developing a even more rooted team on what's possible. Now, let me be specific about how we pivoted. What we did instead was we said, wait a minute, the dollar figure wasn't the right thing to look at. At this time, we were doing big music games entirely on an iOS app. And instead, what we did is we pivoted to a different outcome desired, which was the numbers of daily active users of the game. That was it. It wasn't dollars anymore. Instead, we just said, hey, we had something like 500 daily active users playing. We were just like, can we get to 1,000 players? And then we can figure out the monetization part a little bit later. But let's get enough kids and families playing and teachers playing so that we can begin to build that community around it. And we'll solve the monetization piece a little bit later.
Mm. Okay.
We had some other nuances there. But anyways, that's just a concrete example.
I just want everyone listening or watching, if you're on YouTube, to realize you've heard start to finish the reasoning in a change like this. And I want to further add that in the wake of the annual planning workshop we did back in December, a number of questions that were submitted both before and after were along the lines of, well, how do I even know what to pick? How do I know that my goal is a good one? This was asked so many times because we ran a survey of those who registered and we saw that one come up quite a bit, all right? Now, what you just heard was someone who, I'm just going to say it, is good at business, good at leading a team, made a mistake. Or at the very least, maybe mistake is too strong a word. At the very least, it was maybe too ambitious a goal. And as information came in during the year, it was realized, oh, that was too ambitious a goal. Now, here's why I bring this up, because I know Nate just said this. I'm not just repeating what he said. Here's why I'm bringing it up. Because the advice I give to people who don't do annual planning or wouldn't do quarterly planning because they're not sure what their goal should be, this is a skill that gets developed. And what you're hearing is this is how Nate further developed his skill. He was already, you know, doing well with the annual planning. This was something that caused him to learn. And this just goes back to that principle of you have to do it to get better at it. You don't read a book and get better at it. You don't get information. You don't take a course or a workshop on annual planning and then you're ready to be a great annual planner. That's like Mario level one, right? You keep going up the levels as you actually do it. And then you learn. And I can't tell you the number of times I made too ambitious a goal or just picked one out of the, and then I learned, oh, okay, interesting. I seem to be making the same mistake every year for several years in a row. And then there's this dawning realization of, oh, the pattern is this. And then I adjust and I get better at it. And so now I'm at a place where, you know, I'm much better at picking these things because I've been doing it for a long time. So I didn't want this moment to go by without adding that on, because what Nate said there is just so helpful in its own right. But then if you can apply this practicality to that as well, to the story, this might give you the internal motivation necessary to actually do this and keep doing it even when you're quote unquote failing at it. You're not failing. You're actually doing the best part of the learning.
Yes. That's the key. I've been rereading that book, Tiny Habits. Mm-hmm. For like the third time in 2 years.
Good for you.
But I was just listening to a section on motivation today. And he was just like, he's like, motivation is the worst thing to lean on, right? For getting stuff done. He's like, it's just not, he's like, we all have motivation waves. The motivation wave, as I'm sure you and Alyssa referenced, comes up in December as we head into a new year. We're all super motivated to like, okay, we'll try annual planning. And then that motivation wave subsides And next thing you're doing is hoping that if you just look at your notes, that'll be enough, right? It's not enough. We need to take actions.
I just wanted to reference one small thing you said. We have done two previous podcast episodes on annual planning, and I'll have Bethany drop these in the show notes. You can go to gregmusicstudio.com, look up the podcast, find this episode. Show notes are there. But those two episodes are episode 10 and episode 52. Those are the two previous ones. And we took slightly different tack on them in each episode. So it's not like you're hearing the same content twice. We took two very different perspectives. And then the workshop, which again, you can find in the free community, it has an entirely separate kind of outline and curriculum to it. So all this together will really educate you as to how, you know, the technical side of it. So I just want to drop that in there, Nate, but continue. I don't want to steal from the point you're about to make.
No. I love it. Keep it practical. Listeners, know that we're not just getting entertained here. We're actually doing the work. So go back and check out those apps if you haven't yet. What I was going to say is two other things about this. And I pulled out my full focus planner, which is what I use. I use this Michael Hyatt approach to, you know, get my stuff done. And what I love in it is that it's each planner is one quarter by design. And every planner is broken down this way. It says, in the beginning, what are your goals for this quarter? So this planner is not just work. It's my personal life too. Examples. I'm learning a card trick right now, sleight of hand. Daniel, you got to test me on that in a few months to see if I can actually do a card trick with you next time I see you. Anyways, it's personal and professional, right? So then it does this thing where it says, okay, great. You open with your quarterly goals. Actually, you open with your annual goals. There's one sheet for annual goals. Then it says, okay, well, what projects are you going to do this quarter? And then each week, it just says, okay, write down your big three tasks you're going to get done that are going to increase the odds that you'll get that project done, right? Okay, all of this is pretty straightforward. We've all heard these kinds of things. But what I love about it is on every single day of each week, you write down again, only three. If you could only get three things done that would increase the odds of getting those big three done for the week, what would they be on today, Friday? We're recording this. I have a big three at the top. But then right above that, there's a little countdown. It's 12 weeks of the quarter. And it says, well, we're recording this at the end of January. And it's saying, guess what, Nate? You've got 8 weeks left in the quarter to achieve these quarterly goals, right? To finish this project. How are you doing? So basically, when you set up quarterly planning, it's like having this little planner, but for your whole team. You're saying, okay, guys, because now you already know in April, you're going to do an assessment. You're going to celebrate what you achieved. You're going to assess what didn't go well. You're going to go through these concrete steps of accomplishments, strengths, weaknesses, lesson learned, opportunities, threats, right? You're going to do the same thing you did in annual planning, only you're going to do a much shorter version of it. You're only going to do like 20 minutes on each rather than an hour on each. Dig it? But for the entire quarter leading up to that April meeting, Daniel, here's what's really impactful is that every week, all of the stakeholders, the players on the projects that you said you were going to get done by April, are reporting their progress moving towards that quarterly planning session. So we all are saying, for example, right now at BMF, we have a single project that we're going to achieve in the first quarter of 2024. And it's all around the org chart. We are hiring, we are designing a couple of new roles. Some are administrative. We've designed a new teacher role called the community classroom teacher / floater, which is an on-site sub. We're going to have two of these that are on-site 6 days a week, ready to sub when needed or go in and support teachers as needed. Otherwise, they're playing big music games in the community room with our community while they're waiting for their lessons or coming out after the lessons. The point is our priority is an org chart priority. Every single week, we are talking about our progress towards the outcome there, which is hiring X number of roles, X number of people into roles by April 1st. So that's the last thing I'll say in terms of how you do quarterly planning. Well, you don't actually wait till April to do the big project. You design a quarter around weekly check-ins and then a quarterly assessment.
Mm, okay. Nate, you remember for the date night episode, I actually asked you to give me like a timeline of how the date night works with the kids. Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be valuable right now to even talk about what the quarterly planning session looks like when, you know, or is it such a personal thing for you as the leader that it doesn't really follow a timeline? Because I know when you do annual planning with your team, you actually have a schedule for how things are going to run. Is it that structured for quarterly and thus it'd be useful to maybe give some highlights of that? Or is it not that structured and we should just cut this?
No, it's structured.
Okay.
In fact, I could pull up a quarterly planning book and it probably has the agenda in it from a previous quarterly planning I could talk about. But how about rather than pulling up a book and reading you the time by time,
okay,
let me just give a quick outline of how it would work.
Love it. That sounds great.
Yep. First of all, you're fitting it in like 3 to 5 hours. You don't need more than that. This isn't like 2 days. Got it? Start at 10 a.m. First 30 minutes is just a review of the workbook that you have in front of you. Yes, you're going to create the same type of workbook that you did for annual planning, but it's going to be much simpler because it's just a year to date. It's just marketing, like dashboard, marketing dashboard, year to date, et cetera. We'll get into the details of that another time. But you're going to spend the first 30 minutes basically reviewing the book and then going around the room and saying, hey, what's one insight or something that popped out to you about what we've achieved year to date so far? So give everybody an opportunity to talk, say hello, sip their coffee, et cetera, get settled. Then you're going to go straight into a round of what I already described. You're going to do 20 minutes of accomplishments, set a timer. Everyone goes around and say, what have we accomplished so far in this first quarter? I'm going to just assume it's April right now. Then you're going to go around and do the same thing with strengths. What do we believe our strengths are this quarter? Where have we exhibited those strengths? What do we find to be really inspiring from the team in terms of a strength or a resource that we have? Then you're going to go to weaknesses. You're going to say, where have we struggled? What have been some challenges this quarter around this project or these projects we're doing? And for many people listening, you're going to be like, but we just did that like 3 months ago. Really? We got to do this again? Yes, you have to do it again. Because back to your point, Daniel, if we're taking action, we're growing. We're changing. We're not the same as 3 months ago if we're showing up every week and doing this, right? We change. We're always in a change state. That's the only constant is change. So you do the exercise because it helps everyone settle their mind back into where you are right here, right now, today, that first week of April. Not where you were last December, but where you are right now. Okay? Then you go to lessons learned. And I promise you there will be some lessons learned from the first quarter. And we've already given a couple of stories around that. And from there, you're going to set the objective for the next quarter, i.e. you already have what your annual goals are. You already have what your annual objectives are. For example, maybe it's something really simple, like a gross revenue goal. So let's say your gross revenue is you're going to make $500,000 gross in the year. And you look year to date, you're at $128,000. Well, okay, you can be like, well, let's assess. Are we on target? Are we off? Do we need to accelerate some of our marketing efforts to hit capacity in our studio rather than focus on maybe this other operational goal that we wanted? Right, to ensure that we're on that cash target, that gross revenue, on that gross revenue path, right? So that's why you're doing that. So then you're going to set what the strategic issues are and a couple, 1 to 3, never more than 3, but preferably 1 or 2 projects that you're going to knock out that quarter. Assuming you finished your last quarter's project, you're going to start a new project or two. And if you haven't finished the last quarter's project, that's fine. No judgment. You're just saying, okay, well, why not? Hopefully a lot of those things came up. And then if you're going to continue it, okay, well, choose one of your projects, you're going to bring that one to the finish line, right? And then maybe you'll add one more. So The only thing I want to add, and then I want to popcorn back to you, Daniel, is that you do this. That's your schedule. That's your 4 or 5 hours done. Make sure you have lunch together. Don't just be like, we're done. Run to the teaching day. Like, do the work, get a nice lunch together, celebrate the fact that you actually showed up. That's a really important detail. So I'm going to wrap there in terms of what the day looks like.
That's
your
awesome.
End goal is just to have one or two projects based on some critical thinking that you did for the morning.
Yeah. I think that's important that people hear that, because I don't think we've talked about the outcomes yet of the day. So yeah, you have these annual priorities and you're making a decision each quarter as to how you're actually going to make that happen. Nate, have we actually given an example of that here up to this point in this episode of what that might look like for a music school owner?
You mean the actual project, i.e. you have a priority and now you've done quarterly planning and you launched a new project?
Yeah. I don't know if we have. Like, is there something around Big Music Games that you've done or something else in the school where you had an annual priority around this? And then here's an example of what a project looks like that would support that bigger annual goal.
Yeah. I'm going to go off the cuff here with an example from last year. Okay. So last year we had a very clear priority, and this was based, as we've talked about in our annual planning episodes. We talked about it in the webinar, the workshop we did with Alyssa. We got a lot of great input from our faculty. And one of the things they kept saying was, it's still hard to find all the valuable resources that we build for our songwriting curriculum, for our big music games, ear training and theory, and for our Mini Keys and Jam Band 101 classes. It still takes a little too long to prep the lessons. It still takes a little too long to get an answer to a question I might have around how to succeed in the classroom, or just even administrate my lessons outside of the classroom. And so one of our three priorities last year was organize and capitalize on the curriculum. And so we focused in the first two quarters heavily on the organization piece. And what does that mean? That means digging into the rat's nest that is our G drive, where all of our stuff lives. And it was just a brutal project that took many hands and many brains. And what we ended up with was very clean PDFs that we put it designed in Canva that had links to everything with embedded videos to create this songwriting curriculum that anybody could reference, whether it was an internal teacher or an external teacher. In addition, we focused first, Daniel, this is important, we focused first on the Mini Keys and the Jam Band 101 curriculum, organizing that and being really intentional about what are all the questions faculty have and can we answer them all in one simple, clean PDF. And so this is a classic example. This is an operational project, right? It's not about marketing. It's not about sales. It's not about leads. Yes, eventually it'll benefit the gross income and the net income and all that sort of thing, because we're going to be growing the Mini Keys and Jam Band 101 classes, etc. But it was very much like a project where we just said, okay, let's get in there. Let's find all the resources we've made over the first 13 years of our existence and let's figure out what actually matters and let's clean it up. So that's an example of a project. And
awesome.
That's a slow burner, dude. That's for not sure. Like a quick fix.
Yeah. I'll just throw in a very quick example here too, because again, I think the examples will make this somewhat theoretical episode make much more practical sense to people who are listening. People always want and need those examples. So a couple episodes back, episode 108, we had Greg from grouplessons.com on the show, and we were talking about the early days of our summer camp. And we talked about how that first year we really didn't have a lot of budget to do marketing or advertising. But after a couple summers, we had a lot more campers coming to that camp and we had some budget to play with. And a good example of a quarterly project was in the first quarter of the year, we spent almost all of our marketing dollars in Q1. And those projects looked like designing the full page ads for print magazines in the area, setting up our booth at the camp fair at Dulles Town Center, which our Q4 project the earlier year was actually getting all that together so that we could in Q1 actually do the camp fair. Those are perfectly good projects. And if you want to hear that episode, we'll put that in the show notes as well. And again, to find these episodes, if you're listening to this on a podcast player, you can just go to growyourmusicstudio.com/blog and you'll very easily find the podcast tab on the blog. No problem. And just click to the podcast episode, this one, 111, and you go down to the show notes. Anyway, I think those are two really good practical examples. I think we're almost done here, Nate. Maybe just a couple other questions that I have. And I don't know, maybe you might feel we've already kind of covered this, but what do you see as the impact of quarterly planning on your school? I know you started the podcast with that quote from your mentor that they every time they didn't do quarterly planning, they didn't hit their annual goal. So maybe that has been true of you all, but do you see any other impact in, you know, anything that jumps out at you?
I think there's a few things. The first one is that it's very easy to get distracted as an owner and to think that your life is a set of fire, you know, just a field full of fires and you're running around with a bucket trying to put them out. Right. And that's, we have mad empathy for that. Like sometimes, I mean, everybody feels that at some point in their week, or even in their day. And so what happens, number one, the impact is it settles everybody and helps everyone understand that they're working on something larger than themselves. That's number one. Right. Number two, it's just a reminder that, yeah, you're operating a school. That's 80% of your time. This annual goal, these priorities, that's the other 20%. And we're just reminding ourselves that every week we want to slice 20% of that creative, intentional time and apply, slice it out and apply it to this annual goal. Right? That's number two, is the impact it reminds everybody on the team that they're allowed, they're liberated from just putting fires out and actually spending 20% of their time every week, right? Nobody's going to judge you for taking 20%. If you want to go on a long walk to just brainstorm ways of doing it, go on a long walk and just brainstorm how you're going to get the project done. That's your 20% for the week. Okay. And then the third thing is that as you grow your school, the number of humans is going to increase, right? And what happens as the number of humans increase is that people start to feel more and more lonely. They feel alone because everything is about when you start connecting with one another, it feels mostly like you're just task-oriented. Just trying to get her done. And everybody seems to have less and less time as the team grows larger and larger. Right. So an antidote to this is to create space for the team to just gather and remind one another that they're not alone. It's not just a Slack message of getting her done. Got it done. Okay. On to the next. That actually you're all working together towards something. That's the third and final piece I want to share there. And then I only have one other thing, Daniel, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah. You gave a formula there. And I want to make sure people didn't miss that. You're not spending 100% of your time on projects. Nate said there, he's spending about 20% of the time on projects, the big picture stuff, 80% of the time running the school. Your mileage might vary. My mileage might vary. But, and I'm going to point this out because I know a lot of my clients listen to this podcast. I have this thing that's built into my schedule called most important tasks, MIT time. It is my A-list action items. It is this first stuff I do every day. I don't do the putting out fires stuff first thing in my day. I always eat the frog first. I always do the hard, demanding, emotional work first, the big picture project first. It's my way of making sure that those things get pushed forward. If you do not block that time out on your calendar, then if you're like me, and I'm a human, so are you, you're probably like me, then you're going to save those, which is just code for saying you're never going to do them. So that would be a practical hack I would tell you all. Like, you need to block out 5 to 10 hours a week where no one can bother you. You lock the door, or you leave the house, or you're not in the studio where a teacher can poke their head in your office. You do this when you're going to get uninterrupted, focused, concentrated time. And this is when you're working on those projects. Or if you're working on these projects in the conjunction with your team, so you have to have team members along with you when you're doing it, you're scheduling that time with them so that it isn't, hey, do you have some time? Oh yeah, the next free time I have that matches up with yours is sometime 3 months from now. No. You're blocking this out because it's a priority for you. So, or you're putting times in your calendar where you're having weekly check-ins, as Nate said, maybe 20 minutes ago, with the team members to get updates on how they're doing their part of the task. I've mentioned this in past episodes, but in 2023, one of the team members on Grow Your Music Studios team took on a major project, and I worked with her more closely last year than any of the previous years, and she really skyrocketed in terms of her abilities, her overall value to the team. And as a result of that, in 2024, I'm working even more with her this year because we're expanding on the work she did in 2023. And just, I'm just so thrilled with this team member. And I'm meeting with her fairly frequently now. And she's actually going onto my calendar and booking time with me because there are parts of her job that she can't do without my input, or for us to actually collaborate on the creative ideas around the marketing we're doing. And even as we recorded this 2 days ago, we spent 7 hours together at a local coffee shop, really intensely working and talking with one another and making a ton of decisions about some of the things that we're doing right now. So just some practical thoughts there, Nate.
Well, before I give my final little, tip on exactly what to do and how to do it. Mm. Daniel, I'll say the reason why you created space and time to meet with this team member and to work closely with them, I'm guessing, is because it aligned with your annual plan.
Absolutely. No question.
Right? You saw it as, oh, wait, this team member is going to be integral to us achieving this thing. So therefore, I don't have any regrets or resent the time needed to work alongside her, right? Like, this is one of these, this is so, so, so freaking important for our listeners to hear. Because if you've ever felt resentment around how many people are pulling on your strings of time, it's probably because you don't have a clear picture and roadmap of where you're trying to get and who's going to get you there.
Absolutely.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're not all rowing towards the same island, then of course you're going to be bummed out when someone says, sail this direction or row over here in your dinghy. Follow me. I'm going to the right. Because you don't trust that they are going to the same place you're going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll just even add on to that, that I love that resentment piece you put in there. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, when she would ping me on Slack or schedule, like a meeting with her would pop up my calendar, and I'd send her like, well, hey, what's this about? You know, I don't think there was one time where I felt stressed, resentment, like, what is this about? You know, oh, this person's annoying me. Didn't. In fact, I'm pretty certain she knows. Like, I think I actually said at one point last year, dude, I freaking love you. What you're doing is absolutely amazing. And I've been kind of vague about the project because it's part of our competitive advantage here. And we definitely pushed that last year. It yielded huge results for us. And I'm not going to talk about what that was. But yeah, I totally agree. And just, you know, to further push this point, she was so in alignment with our annual goals because we were having these frequent meetings. We were talking about how this was related to our annual goals. She was so in alignment with that, that she was making decisions sometimes where I'm like, how did you know to make that decision? How is your judgment so good on this? And then she just kind of said to me, like, dude, well, I don't know if she called me dude. She probably did. There was just such great conversation between us. The vision on my end was so clear that my communication with her was so frequent and clear that she was really, really clear. And then that allowed her to give even great feedback. And then I'm sitting there shocked with ideas she's coming up with because they're so good, but it's because of this two-way communication. Anyway, I'll stop.
Well, that is a classic. When we talk about quarterly planning, that's a classic week-to-week rhythm where you're working on something there. It sounds like you were putting in more than 20%, but it was probably part of it. It was probably innovating on something you were already 80%ing on. Like you already had a marketing funnel and you're innovating. But without getting in the weeds on that, I just wanted to give one.
I really
other
want to, but you're right. Let's not get in the weeds. I really want to. Go ahead.
Because we're talking quarterly planning. I want to share this as a close. So, as I mentioned, one of my mentors years ago shared this idea. The only time they didn't achieve their quarterly plan was when they didn't do quarterly planning. So I walked away thinking, got to be quarterly planning, got to do it every quarter. You know, it's April, it's July. The problem is that that actually didn't align with our school. And then I went back, asked this question. I was like, it's so bumpy. Like we're hitting summer camp and I can never get my business partner to be all in during July because she's deep in directing camp with hundreds and hundreds of students and families. How do I make this work? And they were like, Nate, it doesn't have to be quarterly planning. You can decide when it is. You just put the stake in the ground and you put it on the calendar. And so what we've done is we've said, we're going to check in with the team two more times. Okay, we check in April, which works well for us because we're just wrapping up the hiring season for the rest of the year. So we're hiring through the fall and all contracts are going out right at the beginning of April. So there's a good moment there. And then we meet again in Rocktober. So first week of October, those are the two times we check in. Those are the two times we reset. Those are the two times we reassess. And that works for us, right? And when we're meeting in April, we know that we're creating projects that run through the summer, run through that time when some of our staff are deep in camp and other of our staff are wide open and can take on lots of creative work, right? So I wanted to close with that, which is, if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, what? I need to spend 7 hours in a coffee shop with my team member designing a marketing funnel, or I need to do this every 3 months. You're listening to this and you're thinking, wait, it's happening in 2 weeks. This is crazy. Let go of all of those limiting thoughts. Instead, just understand the principles behind it and then say you're going to design something that works well for you with over the next couple years of testing it out.
Hey, it's Nate again. You know, every year at Brooklyn Music Factory, we get dozens and dozens of great reviews from our families. And you want to know how? Because we ask them. And they're happy to leave a review because of the positive impact that we've made on them. And so now I have a simple ask for you. If this podcast, the 7FMS podcast, was helpful to you, would you mind leaving a review for Daniel and I? And please share the podcast with another music school owner that you think might benefit. It's one of the best ways that you can support us. We appreciate it.